We were in Philadelphia, Josh. You're doing Philadelphia talk show, like WIP. We'd be talking about Ben Simmons, I imagine. Just saying, fans, let it rip. He did not practice again today. But were they scheduled to practice? From what I understand, is after a game, they don't practice the next day.
The team did not have practice. He had a scheduled individual workout.
Oh, and we did not show up.
Yes.
Boy, the Sixers really missed him last night against New Orleans. He's done in Philadelphia. There is no way that he can play and say, oh, it's okay, fans. It's okay, Philadelphia fans. It'll be fine.
Well, the weird thing about it is he arrived at the facility.
Today?
Yes. And then did not participate in the individual
workouts. There's something wrong.
And then he left. It's a middle finger.
There's something majorly wrong with him. If he doesn't want, you know what? If he doesn't want to play, that's fine. That's fine. Just don't, you know, you're good. Nobody wants you. But don't show up here and waste our time. Here's where he's gotten off on the wrong foot. With the organization and not playing and them not being able to find a place for him to go. But they've reached the point of no return. And I don't know what you do now, because again, his trade value is zilch. Here's where he really, really made a mistake. You can be a jerk to your coach. You can be a jerk to your teammates. But if you show up and you show out, okay. You're still a jerk, but at least you're doing your job and you're helping us win. This is where you can't be a jerk. It's not just at the Philadelphia 76ers facility. It's any business. I can be a jerk to you. I can be a jerk to my GM. I can be a jerk to the program director. But as long as we're scoring, now, I think that would create a terrible atmosphere. But if I'm a jerk to Cynthia, who is the greatest gatekeeper in the history of radio stations, like nobody gets by her. She doesn't put up with any guff. Like if I treat her poorly, and I treat maybe, you know, the cleaning crew that comes in here poorly, but they love, because they listen to 1620, the two guys that clean our building, they're very excited. Anytime they see any of us, they want to talk. If I'm being a jerk to both of them, we're at a point of no return. Because those people are the most important people to you. I hear baseball guys used to say this all the time when I was in professional baseball. Your manager is not necessarily the most important person. The clubby who takes care of you, who washes your clothes, who cooks your meals or acquires your meals or gives you direction. He's the most important guy. Don't be a jerk to him. You want to be a jerk to the manager, but yet you're a Cy Young Award winner? Okay. But don't be a jerk to that clubby. He went wrong. He's a jerk to the wrong people. And I just don't know. I mean, when you're practicing and you have a cell phone in your pocket and the screen is on and you're in sweats, everybody else is dressed in normal practice clothes, there's no point of return. And the Philadelphia fans, for somebody that doesn't like criticism, they'll eat him alive.
This isn't James Harden going to a strip club to get his way out of Houston. This is, your market value is already weird because you're a weird kind of player, and now you've just tanked it.
I mean, what if we want our favorite players and players in general to play? What if sometimes guys just don't want to perform? They're just done. They're good. They don't want to be out there. Like Ben Simmons gives no indication that he wants to be out there. I wonder if Zion Williamson, who could lead the league in scoring, wants to play in the NBA or wants to play in New Orleans. Because the story is out today, and he had foot surgery in the offseason. You know the kind of style that he plays. He's going to take a wear and tear on his body. But when Zion is playing at a high level, there aren't a lot of people in the NBA that are on his level. They're worried that he's going to he is currently weighing 300 pounds. You know, he has that weird body.
Yeah.
Where I don't know that Zion, I think Zion is strong.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always going to have, like, the baby fat. He's always going to have that look.
He does have that look.
But he may not consider himself overweight. That's just who he is. That's his body. But they think right now he's at 300 pounds. Well, have you seen, so he's not playing right now because he's still coming back from the foot injury. They had their media day last week, 2 weeks ago, and there were pictures of him because he was out. They did a good job in kind of hiding it in a promotional video that they put out. But when reporters got a good look at him, they were like, wow, he doesn't look good. And the Pelicans say he's possibly around 300 pounds.
I heard he came in heavy. I had not heard the number.
And that's always been the knock against him, is that, man, he looks like he's chunky. Well, he's kind of got a weird body. But if, you know, he's performing like he is, long term, you'd like, man, you got to get in shape. You can't have wear and tear on your feet, which I hate foot injuries because it's not all of a sudden they go away, whether you have surgery or not. But living in New Orleans doesn't help. Probably having a lot of your fellas around, they're eating, you're eating. It's like, you know, when your wife was pregnant, she's eating, you're eating.
Yeah.
But
I'm still eating for two.
And, it's okay. But then there's the part of, okay, who in New Orleans takes him aside and says, this isn't the way to be a pro? Man, you got a great career ahead of you. You're gonna do big things in this game. Maybe not in a Pels uniform, but man, this isn't the way to go. This isn't the way to go to yo-yo with your weight and your franchise wondering, man, do you really want to play basketball? Do you want to play here? You're eating yourself out of New Orleans. He's already kind of been known as a little coach killer. Not off to a good start. Even though his play, when he's on, man, Zion is Zion. But right now, all the drama is off the floor, and he's weighing 300 bills.
One player on that roster over the age of 30. So there isn't that vet to say, this isn't how you do it, buddy. I know maybe you don't want to be here. That's great. A lot of us don't want to be here. Trust us. But you got to put in the work.
And he already burned through a head coach who has a lot of experience in the NBA in Stan Van Gundy. Now, sometimes we want more from our athletes than we're going to get. That's tough for a sports fan to have a realization of what I want is just not going to happen. It's kind of like the, bring it closer to home, it's kind of like the balance of Adrian Martinez. Like there's a point of no return of what you think he can be and what he actually is. So anything you're hoping for, it's probably a finished product. A finished product in much better shape and not as beat up as the past. But going back to yesterday, and it always starts with the quarterback. I don't care where you play, how good that quarterback is. Everybody starts with the quarterback. He can either be the strength or the weakness. He can be a blessing or a curse, which I truly believe he is for Nebraska. He can get coaches hired. He can get coaches fired. He can get coaches extension. But every football team, it starts with the quarterback. If it's not starting with the quarterback, you better be so good everywhere else. It doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. And is Adrian going to be a different person in his last four games? Probably not. I think he'll be healthier than he was against Minnesota. They probably are not having him on his feet very much. So he'll be back to being able to run the football, the option, that element that Nebraska was missing on Saturday against Minnesota. But for the last four games, it's not all of a sudden he's going to do something you haven't seen. Except if he has that one game where that can be his signature win, his walk-off. He leads Nebraska to a victory late. And it's because of him, where he's the one that makes plays. But I don't get the, you know, I think it'll be, if Scott and Adrian want to go there at the end of the season, at the end of their relationship, of what exactly went on. Because Scott, again, yesterday was kind of cryptic. Of there'll be a time and a place, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, there'll be a time and a place to discuss what has ailed him? I don't know, Josh. Does that do your quarterback any good? It just opens up for more questions on what's going on and being cryptic.
You got to say something or you got to say nothing.
Hey, we know that he got popped against Michigan State, but he's tough. He went into the locker room, no concussion, came back out, finished the game. And nobody has ever questioned his toughness. Nobody. We now know that it was not good to have him trying to run the football against Minnesota. But then it opens up you, as we've said all week, you have a running back or you have a quarterback who's got some speed. Is there at least a couple of plays in a package that you could run, just get him on, get him out, and get yards? But when you say stuff like that, and you're talking about a quarterback who has gone through the highs and the lows and is, everything revolves around him, it makes it real cryptic, and you're wondering, well, is it more? Is he okay?
Well, Frost doesn't give injury info.
Is there something off the field? What's going on? That doesn't do you any good, and it doesn't do your quarterback any good, because there's already plenty of questions about him.
And if it's as simple as he's playing hurt, like, okay, you don't want to divulge injury information. I get that. Say he's playing hurt.
I think there's probably going to be a point where we'll do the calculations. And for the majority of his career, he had an ailment. But it's not like he tapped the helmet and said, I'm out. He stayed in there. But when you say stuff like that, you just kind of add another element of like, wow, is it more? Is it non-injury related? Is there something that's on his mind? Did he have a breakup with his girlfriend? Is there something going on back home? I mean, what's ailing him? We're going to ask our guest tomorrow because I brought this up on Monday. Got kind of an interesting feedback. What would Scott be like without Adrian, and what would Adrian be like without Scott? Both are in play for next year. You could have Scott coach in Nebraska, and he's got a new quarterback, and Adrian playing somewhere else where Scott Frost is not his head coach. Who would look different in that scenario? And something I wouldn't mind. It'd just be interesting to see, because it's sometimes a blessing and a curse, and probably I could say that about both guys. For the head coach to the quarterback and the quarterback to the head coach. All right, 39 past the hour. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this Thursday edition. Even though Nebraska's not playing tomorrow, we will have a Football Friday fiesta. Some important games this weekend in college football. There's not some wow games, but who are we kidding? There's going to be a bit of chaos, whether it be Iowa State beating Oklahoma State to knock them from the ranks of the unbeaten. Something will happen this weekend. Right now, the slate doesn't look like, looks like a good bye weekend to go to weddings, focus on the NFL the following day, go to pumpkin patches, mow the lawn, rake the leaves, sleep in, do whatever you do. But we know there'll be chaos, and tomorrow we will discuss it all on a Football Friday Fiesta. And of note, Brett Ciancia from Pick 6 Previews, he was in Boone, North Carolina last night. He went to the Appalachian State Coastal Carolina game. Not very far from his house in Pennsylvania. So he loaded up the minivan and he drove south and he went to the game. So I'll be curious to get his reactions to the atmosphere and then how the game unfolded. The other cool, unique, smart thing about last night is at the end of the game, Coastal Carolina was just going to let Appalachian State score so that they could get the ball back and have a chance. Like they were playing flag football. How about the Appalachian State running back that just slid down?
Such a heady play.
They just, nope, I'm not going to score. I see what you're doing.
A hero to those of us that had the money line.
I mean, yes, smart play by Coastal Carolina. I mean, and they tried to bring, they're like, Appalachian State, come into the end zone. It's okay. This is a safe place. Just come into the end zone. And they're like, no, I'm good. I'm going to slide down right here. Yeah. I'll be down at the two.
It wasn't an immediate, oh, let's all get out of the way. They like lured him into a false sense of security. Like, oh, you're really fast. You're really fast. Oh, I'm in the back of the end zone.
Game also last night taught us that when you slide into somebody's DMs, they're going to slide right back out if you get the result that you're not looking for. And a Coastal Carolina coach contacted Chase Bryce through DMs in the offseason. Did not have some nice things to say. So what did Chase Bryce do? Because we all do this now. He shared the DM last night after the game. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show with producer Josh after this.